محمد وآل محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. We were discussing the verse وَلَقَدْ verse number 5 of Surah Al-Mulk. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحِ وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينِ. We have certainly adorned the lowest heaven with lamps and made them missiles against the devils. This much we discussed last week. وَأَعْتَدْنَا لَهُمْ عَذَابَ السَّعِيرِ. And we have prepared for them punishment of the blaze. Now, what it says actually at the end is that what they endure in this world when they want to transgress by being pelted with missiles of fire or by fireballs is not the whole punishment. We have prepared for them the punishment of blaze for the hereafter. Now, what is the point of this punishment of blaze, Adab al-Sa'ir? What is this blaze? And in Jahannam we have many different expressions of fire, of torment of fire, of hot water, of drinking pus and water which is from the washing of people's injuries and such things. What is the purpose of all this? And what is really the reality of Jahannam? We have one hadith which we always have to bear in mind whenever we want to understand the meaning of these verses. And that is, it is reported that the comparison of Akhirah to this dunya is like when you put your finger in an ocean and take it out. The moisture which is on your finger is this dunya, and the ocean is Akhirah. That means our scope of knowledge of existence, our scope of knowledge of beings here is so limited, so small, compared to what's going to come. Because what is going to come is the real life. What we have here is just imitation of life. It's just starting up for life. And therefore, whenever we want to understand these things, whether about paradise or about hell, we have to bear in mind, these are just the miniature, very somehow small similes about what is going to happen and how things are. Of course, God talks about blaze, fire, about the environment of hell, the way it is, fi samum and wahamim, is just a place with penetrating hot winds which goes into the skin, and oh, everywhere you can find hot water. These are just expressions which tries to bring to our understanding what type of life is going to be there in Jahannam, and the expressions about paradise telling us what type of life almost is. Just an example. مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ أَلَّتِي وَعَدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ. You want me to give an example about the paradise that the muttaqun are going to go? It's like this, you see, it's like this, that as if rivers of honey are flowing, rivers of milk are flowing, rivers of wine are flowing. It is an example, mathalul jannah, the example of paradise. And we always know mathal is different from mumathal. Mathal is different from what the reality is. Mathal is given to bring it close to our mind. Otherwise, we cannot imagine. I have mentioned this example again and again. In the womb of our mothers, we may be given examples about this world, examples about things which we are going to see here. But by no means, by no comparison, we can imagine what is in this world while we are there. About hereafter is the same. Now, should not the punishment finish and end here? These shayateen who try to somehow escape and eavesdrop about what is going to happen, eavesdrop to the world of angels, they are punished by these missiles of fire. As we said, these are all sort of metaphorical examples. This is not physical thing. Should this not finish here? Why they should be punished in the hereafter as well? Now, the point is, at the beginning of this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ لَيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ أَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. He is forgiving, of course, he forgives. But for those who want to stop doing wrong, for those who want to stop being evil, if someone doesn't want to stop being evil, then of course the punishment would continue. And this is what's going to happen. When we die, we either, if we have repented in this world, actually we stop doing evil, if the repentance is real. If we have not repented, we continue doing evil. يَوْمَ يَبْعَثُهُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا. The day when Allah gathers them, فَيَحْلِفُونَ لَهُ كَمَا يَحْلِفُونَ لَكُمْ. On that day, they tell lies to God in the same way they tell lies to you. Why? They cannot stop themselves doing it. It has become part of their nature. So they have to be stopped. These shayateen, if they are not stopped in the next world, they wreak havoc on the creation. And the way they are stopped here, Allah mentions, we send missiles of fireballs to them, of course, metaphysical ones. We stop them from doing evil. If Allah does not stop evil people and evil jinn here, we know the world would be destroyed completely. Of course, the way he stops them here is different. He stops them with good people. He stops them with good creatures. But there, he has to stop them himself. And stopping them means that he has to put them somewhere, contain them, arrest them, put them in shackles, and of course, to change their nature, he has to somehow give them the difficulties so that they acknowledge that they are marbub, they are sustained, and they acknowledge they have to work by a higher will. When they acknowledge this, of course, they are freed. As long as they don't acknowledge, and this is actually the punishment in this world and in the next world, it's the same thing. We are somehow punished in this world to refrain from certain things, from greed, from jealousy, from many other things which we do in this world. If we do not do it, then punishments come. Punishment of greed is an everlasting sort of remorse that we don't have more, for example. Punishment of jealousy is an everlasting burning of the heart, which continues. And this, of course, goes on to the next world. Now, for example, in Surah Tur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says towards the end of Surah Tur, فَذَرْهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوذُوا وَيَلْعَبُوا حَتَّى يُلَاقُوا يَوْمَهُمُ الَّذِي فِيهِ يُسْعَقُونَ. Leave them. Leave them play, leave them be diverted until they come across, they meet the day when they go unconscious. فِيهِ يُسْعَقُونَ يَوْمَ لَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَا هُمْ يُنْسَرُونَ. On that day, their measures, their trickeries, all it's not going to help them, and no helpers there. However, don't think that this is for that world only. وَإِنَّ لِلَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا عَذَابًا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. Here they have the same punishment, of course, in comparison with this world, but they do not realize. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. So, this أَعْتَدْنَا لَهُمْ عَذَابَ السَّعِيرِ is continuation. If they want to continue being the same, we have prepared for them this Adab al-Sa'ir. And it's not only for these. Now look at the following verse. It is not only for these sort of creatures, whether jinn or human beings, that I mentioned how we are going to punish them in this world and in the next world. Anyone. وَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمْ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. And for those who deny their Lord. This is now the general rule. Initially it talks about these shayateen who go and eavesdrop and Allah punishes them. But don't think this is only about them. Anyone who rejects the rububiyah of Allah, who does not acknowledge, which is marbub, does not acknowledge the superiority of God, does not humble himself or herself to God, for them, of course, is azabu jahannam, the punishment of the hell. وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ. A very bad, evil destination. Now, masir is from sayrura. Sayrura is becoming. You know, in this world, we are becoming ourselves. We are not yet completely made. Just like in the womb of our mothers, we became what we were. I mean, of course, in a small scale, we had hands, eyes, ears. We became that. Now, in this world, we are here to become what we are going to be. Our creation is not completed yet. Now, it's a bad becoming. If you go towards the hell, it's bad becoming. وَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ. Those who reject the rububiyyah, that some, that Allah sustains them. Those who reject that, of course, for them is punishment of hell. Punishment of hell has two functions. One function, of course, we say, why punishment? Why is adab? Why is so torturing? In the following verses, it somehow explains it a bit in more details. However, it has two functions. One function is to make them acknowledge, is to humble their hearts. The hearts, you know, in this world, we see all the signs of God. But our hearts are not humbled. Now, the prophets come and call us towards God, to acknowledging the rububiyyah of Allah. They come. Now, if we acknowledge partially, not fully, we do not fully, we never fully appreciate and acknowledge that, unless if you are from awliya Allah. Now, we do not fully appreciate, but if we partially appreciate, then there is a process to make this complete for us and takes us to paradise. Now, if we do not even partially acknowledge, if we do not follow any prophet, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ. We heard someone calling us towards faith, saying, آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ. Have faith in your sustainer. فَآمَنَّا. We believed. So now, of course, it is partial. We now expect that you forgive us. We now expect that you give us what you have promised to through your prophets, you have what you have promised to us. So this partial acknowledgement is very helpful. Our prayers, our fasting, our supplications, it's just partially connected, not fully, because we are very much attached to this world. But this partial attachment is just like a string which takes us, and of course there is shafa, intercession. Sometimes people think that, well, I'm doing my prayers, my fasting myself, why do I need intercession for? Well, how God is going to accept these prayers that we are doing actually? We pray and our mind is everywhere. We do fasting and we somehow destroy it with many other things. Even giving charity, we destroy it with many other things. How should we think that these are helpful on their own? We need that intercession. All of us need that intercession to take us. That string, which actually partially has connected us to God, will take us. Now, if we totally reject, then there is nothing to help us. Now, Jahannam is there. One of the functions is for us to acknowledge, the hearts to become humble. And after the hearts are humbled, as we have mentioned before, we will be taken out of hell, of I'm not talking about myself, of course. I never go there, inshallah. None of us will go there, inshallah. I'm just generally human beings. Now, the other function is the free will God has given us, whether to us or the jinn, shayateen, is not going to go away. We are evil, if we are evil in this world, and we actually practice that evil with our free will. It doesn't cease after death. It doesn't cease after resurrection. That evil actually magnifies because the power increases. The level of existence, the level of life would increase after death. And therefore, if we are left free, we can destroy everything. So the other function of hell and Jahannam is to contain these people. Now, you may say that, okay, containing them would have been possible without punishment, without torture. God could have put them in a prison and let them be there. But the other function is not fulfilled, that they have to acknowledge, they have to humble. And they would humble only if they are punished in that way. The other sort of perspective would be that it's actually their very existence, their very nature which tortures them. Now I will talk about that in the following verse. The environment of hell is made hell, not because it's hell, but because these people are there. It makes it hell because they are kept there. It's just like, for example, if they take you to a prison and they take you to a cell where there are all these drug dealers and criminals, and they put you there. It's hell. It's not hell because of that, those walls. I mean, they may take you to another cell, which are, for example, other people there, political prisoners or whatever, or people who have come there because of debt or whatever. They may not be criminals. The environment changes. You are no more, you are in the same cell, same room, same wall, but it's not bad for you anymore. It's not as bad anymore. But if they take you to that other cell in which there are those criminals and murderers, then it becomes hell. You cannot tolerate this. So sometimes it is not only the environment which makes a place evil. It's those who live in that place which makes it evil. Even in this world, in this, it's very clear, we cannot go certain places, we cannot tolerate those certain places, because the place is the place. You can go in the morning, but at night you cannot go there, because there are evil people there, for example. Criminals are there. So it makes it a hell for you. So that is why the following verse has been actually explained, interpreted in different ways. Now look at this verse. The explanation of hell, how hell would look like. إِذَا أُلْقُوا فِيهَا, when they are thrown into it. First of all, this very expression, when they are thrown into it. Of course, they are not thrown into hell. However, it wants to say that they are worthless. It's just like you throw away something. You throw these people into hell. However, when it talks about people who go to paradise, it never says people are thrown into paradise. No, never. It's the muttaqoon are somehow gathered and taken to the Lord with honor and respect. That they enter to the gates of paradise as guests of Allah, honored. Mukramun, they are honored, they are ennobled when they are taken to paradise. For these people, they are worthless, as they are worse. Either ulqu fiha, when they are thrown into it. Sami'u laha shahiqan wa hiya tafur. Now, the first thing which they encounter when they are thrown into the hell, they hear a furor as it's boiling. Viewer of the hell. Now, Shahir is from Shahir. Shahir is a tall, for example, Jabalun Shahir, a tall mountain. Shahir is inhale, and a very long inhale is called Shahir. from that shahir is very long inhale. Like this, this is inhale. Now, the opposite is exhale. These, both of them are mentioned, lahum fiha zafirun, shahiqun wa zafir. When they are thrown into hell, they have this zafir and shahiq, inhale and exhale. Now, is this inhale and exhale something which is a quality of the hell boiling with rage? Tafur is boiling with rage. Some people have said that these type of verses that we have actually imply that hell has a living sort of identity. It lives, it understands, it becomes angry. تَكَادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْزِ is torn apart from rage, from anger. When these people are thrown into it, it is boiling from anger, from rage, and therefore it has an identity, it understands. And they actually establish this by saying that in the hereafter, everything has intelligence, everything has understand, everything can talk, and everything can hear. And therefore, hell, just like any other thing, like in paradise, for example, these things are there. Can we talk with, for example, trees in paradise? Maybe we can. They may answer us, for example, when we talk to them. For example, how God has created you? Why are you here, for example? They may tell us. We don't know. I mean, that's a completely different world. But they say things have intelligence there. However, these verses could be interpreted in a different way. If we want to prove that, we have to prove it from other statements. These verses, because they have the possibility of a different interpretation, we cannot actually prove by these verses that hell has an intelligence sort of identity and can understand and can talk. Now, exegetes have given three views about this sort of boiling with rage and the shahir. First of all, shahir, this inhale. Why inhale? Because it drags them. And this is a very beautiful expression. It's like this dunya. The dunya somehow drags us into itself, and we see around us. We see even ourselves, our experience. The dunya, the evil dunya, we have two dunya. A good dunya, the evil dunya. The evil dunya is what we want from this dunya as an end, the dunya taken as an end for itself, the world. The worldly ware to be taken, not as wares of akhirah, but for itself as an end. Then we have greed, jealousy, covetousness, lying, oppression, plundering. All this comes from dunya, of course, the evil dunya. Now, this dunya drags people, isn't it? It's just like an inhale, it drags you in. Now, they say akhira is nothing but an expression of this world in a higher existence. So if you are dragged into this world in that way, the hell would drag you inside. This shahir, sama'u laha shahir, and this voice of inhale, continuous inhale. It's just something that takes you in. You go in because here you have gone into it. Otherwise, why should we go there? There is no connection between us and there. And that inhale would take us, would take those who go to hell, to a point where we hear that rage coming. Now, what is this inhale? The sound of this inhale and that rage, the boiling rage that it has. Some say that it is for hell itself, as I said, that hell has an identity, and any time any criminal is placed in it, it becomes angry, is outraged by seeing this evil. Even the hell itself cannot tolerate the existence of these people there because they are very evil. Actually, it's only very, very evil people who go to hell, not people with trivial sins, or sometimes they commit certain sins and they go to, no, it's only the praise of the evil ones, of the arrogant. أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْوًا لِلْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. Only those are the people who go there. So it's it becomes outraged by seeing, and they actually hear this ashayb al-fariq, this sound of inhale, which is very terrifying. It takes them in. Others say that no, it is actually the voice or the rage of inhabitants of hell. Yes, of course we can say that. As I said, because of this interpretation, we cannot say that for certain these verses can imply that hell has an intelligent identity. So it is the inhabitants, when you are dragged into it, the more you go in, the more you hear the rage, the anger, the jealousy of people against each other in hell. This is what I said. It is the type of psychology of people there which makes it hell, actually. You cannot bear to live with each other there. And of course, you have free will in hell. Not free will to come out because you are there, but you can do certain things. You have to do many things. You can actually come together, make clans, make tribes and attack each other, try to injure each other, kill each other. Of course, there's no death, unfortunately. There's no death. They are killed, they are alive again. Like some people imagine here in this world, the invincible people in this world, if it is as if it is like this, they never die there, of course. But it's لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. They don't die and they don't live. You cannot say it's life. It's so terrible, but you cannot say that they die because there is no death anymore. So it's because of the people there. They are always angry, always outraged. As soon as كُلَّمَا أُلْقِيَ فِيهَا فَوْجٌ سَأَلَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا, the angels talk to them, ask them questions. And كُلَّمَا دَخَلَتْ أُمَّةٌ لَعَنَتْ أُخْتَهَا, when a group, because they go group after group, when a group goes in, others start to curse them. Damn you, why have you come here? This is our territory, for example. Things like this. It is a sort of environment which never leaves people at peace. Why? Because the soul never was at peace, actually. And they have to find a way out of it by trying to humble themselves. So it is for Ahlul Jahannam, this shahiq, and this outrage and boiling with rage and anger. The other interpretation, the third interpretation, is that it is for themselves. When they go in, they hear this shahir and rage from themselves. They are so outraged. Now, what makes them angry? Themselves. They are angry against themselves. I don't know whether ever you have been angry against yourself in this world. I mean, sometimes we wake up in the morning and we are very angry of ourselves. And we hate ourselves. Now, of course, the good thing is that this passes. This passes and we can live on. Now, you can imagine people in hell, they hate themselves. They are always angry with themselves and with others. And this is why this sound of rage boiling all the time, and this shahir and zafir which comes and goes, and some people say this shahir and zafir are sighs of remorse, sighs of unhappiness, which lasts very long. It lasts, for example, for hours, they say such a thing. And this is what the people would hear from each other in hell. إِذَا أُلْقُوا فِيهَا سَمِعُوا لَهَا شَهِيقًا وَهِيَا تَفُورَ. Again, تَكَادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْظِ, almost bursting with rage. Is it hell itself? Or is it because these people are there? Because they are bursting with rage. That hell is, we say, hell is bursting with rage. Just like, for example, we hear, if we hear some, for example, rupture of laughter from the other room, we say that room is bursting with laughter. The room, we say the room is bursting with laughter, but it's not actually not the room. It's majaz, isn't it? It's just figure of a speech, and therefore it's because the people are bursting with laughter. Here they are, the hell is bursting with rage. One meaning maybe is the people who are bursting with rage, anger against themselves, against each other, and sometimes actually The angels put them in shackles and chains to stop them from injuring each other. Maybe, I mean, why they have to put them in shackles there? Because they're contained there. As Allah mentioned in Surah Anfal, لِيَمِيزَ اللَّهُ الْحَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. Allah wants to separate, distinguish between good and evil. وَيَجْعَلَ الْحَبِيثَ بَعْضَهَا عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Put evil over evil. فَيَرْكُمَهُ. Compress it. فَيَجْعَلُهُ فِي جَهَنَمٍ. Put it in hell. So that no one is actually harmed by it anymore. Now, while of course they are put there and contained, why they should be put in shackles? They cannot come out of it. Of course, they may try sometimes to come out of it. Now, and we can now here imagine that this is not a geographical thing. In a couple of places in the Quran, it says that when people are there, كُلَّمَا أَرَادُوا أَن يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ غَمٍّ أُعِيدُوا فِيهَا. Whenever this sorrow, this rage, accumulates to the extent that they want to run away from hell. And they run away. They come out. But they are brought back. Now, they are brought back. Some would say that why not always they want to go out of hell? Why only sometimes they want to do it? When the sorrow and anger and rage accumulates so much, it's only then, كُلَّمَا أَرَادُوا أَن يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ غَمٍّ. From this great sorrow and remorse, they want to go out. Not why always, because they know that they cannot live outside hell. That is their place. It's just like some people here in this world, they cannot live a spiritual life. It's not possible for them. It's only certain places that they can live, certain practices that they can do, certain activities that they are pleased with. It's the same thing with them. They cannot come. And some say as soon as they come, they start to suffocate and they go back because that is where they can breathe. That is where they can live. So this rage, which is the takadu tamayyazu min al-ghayth, it may be actually the attribute of the inhabitants. This almost bursting with rage, not the hell, of course, as I say, it's a figure of speech. The people are always so angry. إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ لَحَقٌّ تَخَاصُمُ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. This infighting between the people of hell, it is a reality. It will happen. Why it will happen? Because if you put two criminals in one cell, they cannot live together. They always fight with each other. The same thing will happen there. تَقَادُ تَمَيِّزُ مِنَ الْغِيْفِ. Now, one very other interesting information is given to us. كُلَّمَا أُلْقِيَ فِيهَا فَوْجٌ. You see, against this expression أُلْقِيَ. When a group is thrown into it. Of course, we know groups are not thrown. They are led, ushered into hell. However, the sort of ignoble character of these people does not deserve to say it, as they are thrown into it. كُلَّمَا أُلَّقِيَ فِيهَا فَوْجٌ. When a group of these people of her are thrown into it. Now, what does that mean? It means people not all at once enter hell. They go group after group. And the stay in the stages of hereafter would change for people who should go to hell or should go to paradise. People are kept, I mentioned before, people are kept there on the reign of resurrection for long times to see if they can retrieve some of their good qualities. If they can retrieve certain things which they have not been able to accomplish in this world. And we have about Sirat, the bridge which goes towards paradise, that there are 50 very difficult uphills, convoluted sort of uphill routes there that is, of course, not physical. It's, we have to know that, which people should pass through. And if they have not accomplished the idea of those certain sort of stations, they have to stay there. For example, I have done my salat in this world, but very carelessly, not very good. I haven't been able to create that connection between me and God. Now, God wouldn't take me straight away to hell. No. He take me on the Sirats. And I come to a station where my soul is tested for the accomplishment of that connection with God. Now, if it's accomplished, I go quickly. If it's not accomplished, God keeps me there. Something happens there. Even some say for 1,000 years, someone may stay and linger in this one station, so that that connection is established. We don't know what happens there. What happens there, we don't know. What sort of process and procedure is there, we don't know. But we are kept there. And if we can actually accomplish that, we go to the next station, say, for example, charity. Have we been a charitable person here? Because charity would have a sort of accomplishment for our soul. Now, our soul has not accomplished that. No, God doesn't say, okay, because you haven't done it, go to hell. No. Let me see, maybe you can somehow retrieve certain things that you missed in the world. Let me see, maybe you can be saved, maybe you can be retrieved. So he keeps us there. That's why people may go very quickly to paradise or to hell, or it takes long time. That's why in Surah Zumar we have وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَىٰ جَهَنَّمَا Zumara, they go group after group. People are cohorts. The same practice, the same actions they had in this world, they come together and they are taken as one group. And then maybe a couple of years later or 200 years later, another group would go, another group. And the same thing for paradise. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ Zumara. And the group would go to paradise group after group. Because again, some people, just with a blink of an eye, they are on the gate of paradise because they have accomplished everything here in this world. Now, some have to linger long, long times until they be able to somehow make up for what they haven't accomplished. Therefore, here, of course, it alludes to that. كُلَّمَا أُلْقِيَ فِيهَا فَوْجٌ Whenever a group is thrown into it. Group after group. And as I mentioned, كُلَّمَا دَخَلَتْ أُمَّةٌ لَعَنَتْ أُخْتَهَا Whenever a group enters, in Surah Araf, whenever a group enters, they start to curse the other groups which are like them. Because the vicinity and distance in hell and in paradise depends on the similarity of actions. So, لَعَنَتْ أُخْتَهَا means the group which is very similar to them. They start to curse them. That you are worse than us. You came first and say, no, you were kept more than us. You came later. There's hatta idha daraku fiha jami'a until the event is accomplished and is completed and all of them are gathered there. And the same would happen for paradise. Kullama ulqiya fiha fawjun sa'alahum khazanatuha. Khazana are the guards or the keepers. Now, the keepers of hell, we know they are angels, of course, the angels who work them. They are not there because they are bad or evil. They are there because they are the guards. Now, you may say, would these angels in hell experience any sort of feeling of punishment, anything that these people in hell are experiencing, anything that they are going through, are they not affected by it? We know that angels are very, very sensitive creatures, very sensitive. You cannot imagine how sensitive angels are. That's why they say, for example, when you pray, put some sort of some perfume on you, because the angels, when they come and they are somehow they see something reprehensible, they go quickly. Now, very sensitive creatures. Now, are they not affected? These people plead for mercy to them. Plead for mercy. And they, of course, are quite indifferent towards these pleadings of mercy. Just as a sort of side subject, we have a hadith that when Allah commands the angels, خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوا in Surah Haqqa, خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوا ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ صَلُّوهُ, take him, chain him, and take him to hell. These people plead to angels, have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us. And the angels say, what is the extent of our mercy? The most merciful have no mercy upon you. Arhamur Rahimeen has no mercy upon you. You ask us mercy. How can we have mercy? What is the extent of mercy? What is the amount of mercy compared to that? So are these affected? No, they are not affected because they live in a different environment, in a different sphere of life. They don't feel anything there. They see, they of course do all those things, but their sort of existence is different. Like an example I give you, as Amir al-Mu'mini says about Muttaqin, when they are among the ghafilun, the ignorant, they are not regarded as one of them. Although they are there, but their hearts and minds are somewhere else. They don't feel the jealousy, covetousness, greed of people of this world. They cannot feel it. As mu'minun cannot feel these things in this world. And these angels cannot feel it in that world. And also, later on, I'll talk about how, for example, people of hell and paradise communicate with each other. Sometimes they're very close to each other, but their feelings are very different. Their experiences are very different. Okay, سَأَلَهُمْ خَزَنَتُهَا. Now, the khazana, the keepers, will ask them, did there not come to you any warner? Alam yaktikum nadir. What happened? How did you come here? It's as they are amazed. How was it possible for you to come here? Despite all the mercy that God showed, despite all the lingerings you were kept there to accomplish, to make up for what you had in this, you did not accomplish in the previous world. How did you come here? Didn't anyone come to warn you about this? Now, of course, their answer, we keep it for next week. However, one very interesting idea we deduce from this is that if a people are not warned, if a messenger is not sent to some people, or if they have not heard about guidance, they never ever go to hell. Unlike the idea that some people very mechanically think that whoever is Muslim or Christian or Jew, they go to paradise, other people would go to hell. No, it's not like that. Actually, the majority of people who go to hell are those who had prophets and did not follow them. Those who did not have any warner, who did not have any guidance, of course, they don't go to hell. Why should they? They were not given that extra guidance. Of course, all of us have one guidance, and that's our intellect. We can think about things. Our fitrah, the nature that Allah has placed in us, our conscience, these are all guides for us. But Allah says, because of His mercy, if I have not warned you through a messenger, I'm not going to punish you. I'm not going to take you to this evil place, of course. And how these people are treated, how are they judged, what happens to them, that's a different issue. That's a different issue. Someone who's not guided, of course, cannot be equal to someone who's guided. And someone who's guided is not equal with someone who is guided but does not practice, for example. These are very different things. But how these are going to be judged is a different issue. One very important thing that we know from here is that, of course, unless a warner is gone, and this is mentioned in other surahs as well, inshallah, I will continue with this topic in our next session. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ali al-tahiri. قيوم
وآل محمد يا مسلمي صلوا عليه صل على محمد صح يا مؤمني صلوا عليه. Yeah, Latifah.